Okay. So, gentlemen, we're on Daf Hey Omid Aleph. And I would say we're about halfway through the Amud. And we're up to Hahu Raya. So the last Gemara that we studied, which was just yesterday, we had a discussion about Moda B'miksa Sataina in the case of a Shomer. And the Shomer denied one of the animals. He said, I never gave it to you, you never gave it to me. The other animal, he claims, he gave it back. And the third animal, he said that he was poshea, and therefore he has to pay. So there is a Odo B'miksas, and therefore he has to pay. Now, one of the underlying premises of this Gemara is that when we're talking about a Shavua of Hoda B'miksas, we always have to ask two questions. Number one, we have to ask, is there enough of a reason, a basis for a Chiyuv Shavua? And then a second question, which is directly related to the first question, and that is, can we trust him with a Shavua? Which means that in, let's say, Reb Chiya's frame of reference, Reb Chiya says that if a person denies a claim and then two witnesses testify on behalf of the Tovea on half the claim, that he should take a Shavua on the balance of the claim, then the question becomes, is he a Huchza Kafra? Has he already proven himself to be a liar because the Edom testified on half and he had denied the entire claim? And that's where we got into the whole sugya of what's called ishtamuti kamishtami, that under certain circumstances we don't believe he's an absolute liar. He owes a chov and he has every intention to pay back the chov. He just doesn't have the funds right now to pay for the return the money, so he fabricates the truth. But he's not an outright liar. If you force him to take a shvua, then he'll back off and he won't have the gumption to violate the terrible iser of shvua sheker. So we're up to Ahu Raya now. I think if you count up from the bottom of the Amud, it would be approximately 10 lines up from the bottom. You see the two dots? And this sugya of Ahu Raya is going to give us a final psak halacha with regard to Reb Chiya Kamaisa, which is again the case where the Nitba denies the whole claim and Edim testify on behalf of the Tovea on half the claim. Ahu Raya, so we're talking about a shepherd. Davi Masri Le Kol Yoma Chevasa Besade. In other words, they didn't trust the shepherd. Maybe a shepherd is not always reliable. So what they did was, they guaranteed that the shepherd would not be able to deny that he received those animals, that they were given to him under his supervision. So what they did was, whenever they gave him the animals to watch, they would make sure that there were two witnesses who were there when they gave over the animals. And basically what they said to him, either explicitly or by implication, is that he should not return the animals unless the witnesses are there. Which means, you're not going to be believed to say you already returned the animals, right? Because again, if you only had the first pair of Edim who saw the Mesira, but they didn't see the Hachzara, the Hashava, then he could always claim, yeah, sure, the Edom are telling the truth. They witnessed that I got the animals, but I already returned the animals. And really, he stashed it away for himself. So therefore, they insist that he doesn't give back, he shouldn't return the animals without the presence of witnesses. So what's going to happen now is, in event that the Roa would deny, either because he would say, I never got the animals, or I already returned the animals, he's really in deep trouble because he's always going to have to aid them testify. Number one, that he received the animals, and number two, that he returned the animals. If he can't produce two aid them that he returned the animals, then we don't believe that he returned the animals because the condition was made that he would not return without the presence of two witnesses. So we have now a situation in which the owners of the animals have really have really tightened the screws here on this roa. They guarantee themselves that that in any future, shall we say, dinu dvarim, any kind of dispute over the animals, they have the upper hand, because the agreement was made that the raya understood he would not be able to return the animals without the presence of Aiden. So if he claims that he returned the animals, he's not believed. He can't produce the Aiden. However, now the story gets a little, the plot grows a little thicker. Yom Achad, Masru le below Sahadu. Now we can understand this in one of two ways. We can either understand it that the people forgot to get the witnesses, whatever it is, maybe they couldn't find witnesses, or they began to trust the roa, and they said, you know, he's not going to deny that he got the animals, and we don't need the aid. Do you follow my question? In other words, did they change their mind and their appraisal or their understanding of this roa? Or no, they just, for whatever technical reasons, they just could, on that particular morning, they couldn't find the Aiden. And sure enough, Livsof, what happened at the end? They came to collect their animals. Amalahu, so the roa says to them, Lo hayu dvar mi'olam. I never got these animals from you to watch them. I never had them in my under my supervision. Fine. So at this point, again, we're not sure what would be the status of the claim la'adam of the roa. On the one hand, we should believe him because there weren't any Aiden who saw that he got the animals, so he should be trusted to say that he never got the animals. On the other hand, on a daily basis, they gave him the animals with Aiden. And at least he should have understood on that day where they didn't give the animals to Aiden that he's going to have to prove his claim. But what happened was, Asu Sadi, and Ashidule di Achal Tarti Minayu. Again, you have to know the technical issues here about how you identify these animals, but let's say the animals had Simon and Mufakim on them, right? And the witnesses now testify that although they cannot know that he ate all the animals, right? Let's say the original claim was on 100 animals or on 10 animals, but they can testify that he stashed away two animals. Achal tarti. Maybe he slaughtered them and he ate their meat, but in any event, he definitely stole two animals. Now again, this is not a case of Rabbi Chia, where a person denies a chov, because in the case where a person denies a chov, we apply the principle of what? Ishtamuti kom ishtami. Here we're talking about a be'en, we're talking about the actual animals, which he, the roa, stole from the owner of the animals, because the two Eidim testified to that effect. Amar Rabbi Zeira, im Isa l'drabi Chia kamaisa, mishtava ashara. In other words, Rav Zeira wants to make an exact equation, he's oblivious to the Mishtumuti Komishtamit in the case of a Chov, between Rabbi Chia's case and this exact case. Just like Rabbi Chia says that a person denies the claim, and then two witnesses testify to support the claim of the Tovea. He, the Nitba, has to take a Shvuah on the balance of the claim, namely that this is called Modu Mixataina. Here too, we have a Modu Mixataina, although he never admitted any of these animals, but we have clear-cut evidence from the Aiden that he, in fact, took the animals, or two of them. On the balance of the animals, the claim of the Toveh, he has to take a Shvuah d'oraisa. So the Gemara doesn't understand how could Rav Zeira be oblivious to the other problem here. There are two problems, as we said at the outset. Number one, are you chayav a Shvuah? And number two, are you capable of taking the Shvuah? So what does Rabbi Chia mean when he says Yishtaba Asha'ara? Does he mean to say that the roa will take a shvuah on the balance of the animals? Let's say there were five animals, and we have Eidus that he took two animals. Are you telling me that on the other three animals he's going to have to take a shvuah? Are you telling me that he has to take a shvua because we accept the halacha of Rabbi Chiya? Hagazlan who? Once the Eidim testify that he stole two animals, we can't trust him with the shvua. So what should be the din in the following case? Rabbi Chiya says he's a modu b'miktsas, and on a doraisa level, he's chayav a shvua on the shar. Now, he cannot possibly take a shvua on the shar because he's a gazlan. So there are two possibilities. One possibility is to say that he has to pay, because if he can't take the shvua, he has to pay. This is going to be the sugya later on of Rabbi Abba, that mitok sheni yochel lishova mishalim. The other possibility is to say, well, in this case, he really wants to take a shvua. We're not allowing him to take the shvua. And therefore, we might say that this is not Rabbi Abba's mitok sheni yochel lishova mishalim. And the Gemara, strangely enough, comes up with a third possibility. It's neither A nor B. It's neither that he has to pay, nor is it that he's off the hook. But what's the middle of the road shita here? Amalei, Rabbi Zeir said, I'll tell you what I had in mind. Shekinegdo, Kamina. That's Kamina means that's what I had in mind. Shekinegdo, which means the following. That under certain circumstances, if the nitba has to take a shvua, he's chayav a shvua, like this case, where we have, according to Rabbi Chiya, a hodav v'miktas, but he cannot take the shvua, what we're going to institute is the following, a shvua shekinegdo, which means a shvuas nishba v'notel, right? As we said over and over again, all the shvuas that the Torah recognizes are always shvuas nishba v'niftar. So the shvua is taken on behalf of the machzik to substantiate his claim that he doesn't owe money. In this case, we're going to flip the shvua from the nitba over to the tovea, the owner of the animals, and the owner of the animals now is going to take a shvua of nishba v'notel. That's called kinegdo. Kinegdo means we're sort of bouncing the shvua off the nitba over to the tovea. Now again, what we have to discuss is what happens if the Tovea refuses to take the Shvua. Are the Chacham just saying that, you know, we'd like you to take the Shvua, we recommend that you take the Shvua? More likely, the Chachamim are saying that your rights to take this money and collect it on the balance of your claim are conditional on the fact that you'll take the Shvua. If you don't take the Shvua, then what's going to happen is you won't be able to collect that money. Which again, makes sense from a certain perspective, because although the Eidim testify that this nitba owes two animals, they don't know beans about the other two animals. The only problem is that since Rabbi Chiya applies, we have a Chiya Shvua on the other two animals, which the nitba in this case cannot take the Shvua because he's not to be trusted in that Shvua. He's a gazlan. So what do we say to a gazlan? Do we say he should pay? So the takana here in this Gemara of Rabbi Zeira was mishtaba ashara, but who's the mishtaba ashara? Not the nitba, because he can't take the shvua, he's a gazlan, but the tovea. And it seems from the Gemara that the tovea should have no rights to collect the balance of his claim without the shvua. So now the shvua, just like we said, that on the one hand, the nitba needs that shvua, and if he doesn't take that shvua, he has to pay. Now he's saying that the tovea has to take the shvua, and if he can't take the shvua, or if he refuses to take the shvua, then he will not be able to collect. It's just flip side of the same principle. So why did the Chachamim make this takana? If on a doraisa, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
What's he swearing?
He's swearing that he owes him another three animals.
So what about the original two?
The original two he has to pay, because they're able to testify that he stole those two animals. But the question is, does he have to pay on the other three? We have no testimony on the other three. And he denies the claim on the other three. Well, he denied the claim on the first two, and then we proved him to be a gazlan. Should we...
So how can he return more three that don't exist?
No, according to the total claim is fine.
Well, or the value of the animals. Even if, let's say, we can't find the animals, he'll have to pay the value of the animals.
So he's kofar bakol, totally.
He's a kofar bakol. And that's Rabbi Chiya Kamaisa. When you're kofar bakol, but there are eidim on half the claim, then you have to take a shvua on the balance of the claim. And that's a shvua's modu v'miktas. But you might ask, how could Rav Chiya trust him on the balance of the claim? We've already proven to be a gazel. The answer is, that's ishtamuti kamishtamit. That's in the case of a chol. Here, we don't have ishtamuti kamishtamit. We're talking about outright gzela on a be'en. He ate the two animals. So there's no way that Rav Chiya would allow him to take the shvuah, and there's no way that we can rely on the shvuah. He's already a gazel. So you and I would have said, in such a case, let him pay the rest of the balance of the thing. But imagine, Rabosai, what's going to be over here? If you want to collect money from a roer, then all you have to do is get him involved in some sort of dinu dvarim, in which he would have to take a shvuah. If you could ever get such a thing, if you get him orchestrate such a thing, you could literally clean him up for all the money in the world. Why? Because he can't take the shvuah. He's not believed in the shvuah. Now again, my heart doesn't bleed for a gazlan, but is every gazlan vulnerable to a situation where all you have to do is get him involved in a shvuah and he won't be able to be believed in a shvuah? See, if a person says, I refuse to take a shvuah, which is called a nerotza lishova. Why don't you want to take the shvuah? Something's fishy here. The very fact that you refuse to take the shvuah means that you probably owe the money. Then I understand, mitokshe nerotza lishova, yishalim. But in a case of a yachal lishova, where he's saying, I'm willing to take a shvuah on the stack of Bibles, but you're not letting me take the shvuah, then if you're going to say he has to pay, then you're exposing him to every possible claim in the books. And as long as you get involved in a claim where, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to give him something of yours as a loan or as a shomer, and you're going to have Adam. You're going to have Adam testify. So you'll set up Adam, and now you'll claim, instead of those two, you'll claim 100. And guess what? He's going to have to pay you the other 98. Why? Because he's not believed with the shvuah. So to save this situation, Chazal instituted a shvuas nishba v'notel. That's called kinegdo. And what that means is that now the tovea is not going to just be able to collect everything he wants, just simply because the nitba has no standard, has no status, and no reliability for the shvuah. He's going to have to take a shvuas nishba v'notel. And if he refuses to take that shvuah, he can't collect any money. Now, is that going to solve all your problems? I don't know. But hopefully it'll solve most of the problems, because a person is not going to be that chutzpahdik and fabricate a whole claim and then take a shvuah to that effect. So the Gemara is not happy. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Rabbi Zera set up this whole framework of kenegdo because he was standing on the shoulders of Rav Chiya. Right? Let's read it again. Omer Rav Zera, and Isa l'Rav Chiya kamaisa, then mishtaba shara. Let the mafkid take a shvuah on the balance of his claim of the other animals, and that's called a nishba vinota. So Gemara says, hashtanami delesa l'Rav Chiya. Let's put Rav Chiya on the back burners. We're going to put him in brackets. We don't accept Rabbi Chiya. We don't know. Regardless of Rabbi Chiya, independent of Rabbi Chiya, everything that Rav Zera said makes sense. Why? Nechayve midrav Nachman. We have a principle of Rav Nachman. This is codified in, or it's a comment that's attached to a Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos. Mada liviyot chve ein lecha biyalei pato. I'm Rav Nachman. Mashbiyan also Shavuos Heseis. That even in the case of Kofar Bakol, the Rabbanan instituted a Shavuah. The Torah says if you're Kofar Bakol, you're not chayav a Shavuah. But the Rabbanan said there's something called the Shavuos Heseis. And therefore, let's apply Rav Nachman's rule of Shavuos Heseis to the roer. The roer has to take a Shavuos Heseis, right? Because what was the case of the roer? Ladam. Well, once he says Ladam and he denies the whole claim, he's a kofar bakol, he has to take a Shavuos Heseis. But he can't take a Shavuos Heseis because in our case, there were two Eidim that testified on half of the... He's a gazlan. If he's a Gazan, he's Chashal HaShvuah. We can't trust the Shvuah. So what we should do in such a case is we should transfer the Shvuah from the Nitba, the Gazlan, over to the Tovea. He'll take the Shvuah and then he'll be able to claim and collect the balance of his claim. In other words, to make a long story short, Rabbi Zeira's logic is very solid. It's impervious, it's impeccable, and it should be able to stand on its own 2 feet regardless of Reb Chiya Kamai. So why did Reb Zeira fool us, so to speak, by introducing Reb Chiya? Forget about Shvuas Modu B'Miktzas. Leave out Shvuas Modu B'Miktzas. Let's talk about a Shvuah the Rabbanon of Kofar HaKol. Let's call the Shvuas Hesse, some Rav Nachman. Well, the Roa can't take a Shvuas Hesseis, and therefore the Mafkid in this case would be able to take a Shvuas Nishba Vinotel, and he'll be able to collect. Now, Rabosai, let's pay attention to one important point. The Torah never said that a Kofar HaKol has to take a Shvuah. The Torah only says Ki Yuzeh a Modu B'Miktzas has to take a Shvuah. The entire institution, the entire enterprise of Rav Nachman, of a Kofar HaKol who has to take a Shvuah, is all Drabbanan. Now, in the case of a Roah who's not believed, the Rabbanan were very nervous. What do we do with this Roah? He's not on the up and up, but on the other hand, anybody who will be Tovea him and involve him in a Shvuah will be able to collect everything.
Is that believed because he's a Chashid Ganef or what?
Correct. Okay. So now, what we have to do is create some sort of checks and balances to protect the situation of this Roa, or for that matter, anyone who's possible for a Shvuah. So that's called a Nishba Vinotel. Now, we start with the Doraisa and we end with the Derabbanan. What do I mean? Reb Chiya Kamaisa holds that in the case of a Kofar HaKol, when two Eidim testify on half the claim, he's chayav in a Shvuah of Vodu B'Miktzas. We're talking about a Shvuah D'Oraisa. But the only problem is, if he can't take the Shvuah, now the carte blanche, anyone could involve him in a Tviya, and he'll have to pay the whole thing. So the Rabbanah made a Takon. But again, the Takonis Chachomim is a result of the Din D'Oraisa. Notice, why are the Chachomim giving the Tovea rights to take a Shvuah and collect? The Torah never gave such rights. The answer is because the Torah imposed the Shvuah on the Nitva. Right? Because Reb Chiya Kamaisa gives you a Shvuah D'Oraisa Modu B'Miktzas. Now the Gemara is asking, well, what about Rav Nachman Shvuah? Rav Nachman Shvuah is a Shvuah Sesseis. That Shvuah is only a Shvuah D'Rabbanan. The Torah never was machayev you. So now the Rabbanan are going to have to establish some sort of mechanism of checks and balances. Maybe in a case of a Shvuah D'Rabbanan, like a Shvuah Hesseis, if you're not going to allow him to take the Shvuah, you have no evidence against him. Right? As far as this moment, he's a Kofar HaKol, and the Tovea has no evidence whatsoever. So in this case, he should be part. If he can take the Shvuah and he refuses to take the Shvuah, that's an interesting question, which I don't know the answer to that question. But if he wants to take the Shvuah, but we basically refuse to give him the opportunity to take the Shvuah, why should he pay? Is there any evidence that indicates that he owes the money?
2 weeks. It's a Kofar HaKol situation. He says, that's what I'm saying. He's talking about a completely different case.
No, I'm asking the following. I'm asking in a classic Kofar HaKol, not with his two Eidim, Rav Nachman says he has to take a Shvuah, even though he's a Kofar HaKol. What would be if he refuses to take the Shvuah? Could be that he has to pay. I don't know. I'm not sure. You have to check that out as we go through the Sukkah. But what I do know is, in a case where he's willing and eager to take the Shvuah, but we don't allow him to take the Shvuah, on what basis would you force him to pay? If he refuses to take the Shvuah, okay, that's a chashad sheker. You know, it looks a little bit fishy in the fact that he doesn't want to take a Shvuah. That's called mitoch she'eino rotzo lishalom b'shalom. But let's assume, in the case of a roe, for example, he's willing to take the shvuah. We don't allow him to take the shvuah. What evidence does the tovea have, the basis of which we should force the nitba to pay?
Why, in this case, don't we permit him to do this, make a shvuah?
Because he's a roe. He's not believed in a shvuah.
Stam roe.
Stam roe is considered b'cheskes gaza.
Right. Everybody else's,
right, grazing and this, that, and the other. It's haitig a parsha. Lech lecha. So now, the Gemara has a very, very strong argument against the Makshin. The Makshin says, forget about Rav Chiya. You can't forget about Rav Chiya, because if you forget about Rav Chiya and you drop down to Rav Nachman, you're talking about a Shmuel d'Rabbanan. And you're not talking about a person who refuses to take the shvua. You're talking about a case where we refuse to allow him to take the shvua. He doesn't have to pay. So now you're going to make a takana, and you're going to say that the mafkid is going to have rights to take a shvua's nishba v'notel, or forget about a mafkid, let's talk about a malva. So as a malva now is going to wipe, he's going to take a shvua and just empty out the entire bank account of this roer, you know, or the gazlan, whoever he is. So that's what I think the Gemara is bothered by. The Gemara says the following. We're now going to turn to Daf Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara says to Rav Nachman, you're talking about the shvuah of Rav Nachman Takate. That was takana in a case of someone who refuses to take the shvuah. He was kofra kol, and Rav Nachman says, you know, take a shvuah. Can't take a shvuah. He's not believed. Are we going to go a step further, therefore, and establish another takonis chachamim on top of this one, that now the malve, or the tovea, we'll say, is allowed to take a shvuah of nishba v'notel? The Gemara says, takanto l'takanto lo avdinon. So what does that mean, takanto l'takanto lo avdinon? It sounds like Gzera kind of svara. So if you take a look at Rashi says takanta dichshaneg kishenegdo kenegdo yishova v'yitol havi leinami takanta. Dimena Torah, misha olav l'shalim hu yishova v'yiftomin etashlumin. When the Torah says that you have to take a shvuah, it means you're part of tashlum because you took the shvuah. But ein nishba v'notel min haTorah. The Torah never imagined or formulated this enterprise called the shvuah of nishba v'notel. The Torah doesn't recognize such a thing. And therefore, we have here a case of takanto litakanto. The first takana is Rav Nachman's takana called nishba b'shvuas heses. And what's a shvuas heses? Kofra kol, correct? That itself is a takanta. On a Doraisa level, kofra kol means go fly a kite, I don't have to take any shvuah. You have no evidence against me. Now we have another takana. That this shvuah's heses, in an event that the nitba cannot take the shvuah's heses, we're not going to trust the shvuah's heses, we're going to allow the tovea to take a shvuah of nishba v'notel, which the Torah doesn't recognize. That's called a takanta. The takanta. Tosus here adds another embellishment. Takanta the takana. Umitol sheni yochlu shal b'shan lo shayachacha. Tosus says that you might argue. Forget about takanta the takanta. Why don't we just say the following? Rav Nachman established the shvuah heses in the case of kofra kol. If he can't take the shvuah, then we'll apply the principle of mitol sheni yochlu shal b'shalit. Yeah, but mitok sheni yochel shalom v'shalom only applies to a shvuah d'oraisa. It doesn't apply to a shvuah d'rabbanan. Now again, Tosu says kidaparishis. Okay, kidaparishis means that you're a great scholar, and you know where Tosu says this. And the truth is that Tosus assumes that by the time you get up to Bav Metzia, you learn Masechta Shavuos, so you know it klar, inside out. So you know every Tosus Masechta Shavuos. And Tosus Masechta Shavuos says that when the Rabbanan institute a Shavuah, they don't add the principle of Mitoch Sheni Yochel Shavuah, that in an event that he doesn't take the Shavuah, he has to pay. He has to take a Shavuah. And we'll force him to take a Shavuah. But we're not going to make him to pay if he can't take the Shavuah. So now you're going to add on top of that takana, that the malve or the mafkid or the tovea, he's going to take a shvuas nishpah benotel. You see, if we would have said mitoch sheni yochel ishav mishalim in a case of a shvuas heses, so that even though Rav Nachman's shvuah is only Darabanan, but once it was established as a shvuah Darabanan, it has all the regulations that would apply to a shvuah Doraisa, one of which is Mitosh and Yochel Shavu Mishalim. So then the Takanta could make sense. Why? Because what we're saying about the Nitva is that he doesn't take the shvuah, and he has to pay. So the Rabbanan said, well, what are we going to do with this guy? From now on, anybody's involved in a tefillah, he'll be a kofar kol, but he'll have to take a shvuah. We can't trust the shvuah. We'll just clean him out of all the money that he has in his bank account. This is a great opportunity to make money. You don't have to go out west during the gold rush. All you have to do is be tovea this gazlan, and you're okay. Because the gazlan can't take a shvuah. And the Rabbanan, he has to take a shvuah because of Rav Nachman Shvuas Heses of Kofer Akol. And if he doesn't have to, if he can't take the Shvuah, he's going to have to pay. Great. I got a $1 million lawsuit against the mafioso. Again, not a very healthy thing to do. You're putting your life into danger. But he's a Gazan. I'm going to be Tovev $1 million. He'll have to pay me. Why? Because Rav Nachman instituted a Shvuah of Kofer Akol. And now we're going to attach the principle of Mitok Sheni Yochel Ishav Mishalim. He's a gazlan, so we can't trust him in a shvua. Let's just clean him out, you know, of everything. Take the kitchen sink from him. But if the halacha was that way, then I could understand that the Rabbanim wanted to use a system of checks and balances. So he said to the Tovea, don't just wake up today, come into Bez and say, this Gazlan, he's a no good thief, and he owes me $1 million. No. You have to take the shvuah. Because if he can't take the shvuah, then you'll have to take the shvuah. And that far you're not willing to go. To fabricate a claim and then take a shvuah to support that claim, that you're not going to do.
But if the other one
says Tosus, just one less sentence, so I don't forget the punchline, Alan, and then you're on. Yeah. Is there's no dinner mitosh any yochel ishav mishalim in a shvuas heses. In a shvuas heses, it's a chiyuv shvua, but it doesn't mean that the mamon is dependent upon the shvua. It's a separate chiyuv shvua. Therefore, takanta lo amrina, to make a takana now to allow the tovea to take a shvua and clean him out. That we're not going to say because there's no mitoch sheni yochel ishav mishalim on a shvuah says.
That's the question.
Well,
it's right, because the law is not that way. Who you saw the halacha was that the tovea could
force him to pay if he doesn't take the shvuah for whatever reason. He doesn't take the shvuah. We have a principle called mitoch sheni yochel ishav mishalim. Then I understand why we need a shvuah nishpa kinegdo. Then everything would fit into place. We would need a shvuah Nishpa Venota, because otherwise you could just invent a claim against him and clean him out of everything that he has. The answer is nobody's going to do that because we're afraid of a shvua. Again, if you assume, we're afraid of a shvua. And that's called Nishpa Venota. So then the Gemara has no argument. Because then we understand very well where the shvua's Nishpa Venota fits in over here. But the answer is, says Tosus, there's no din of Mitok Sheni Yochel Ishav Mishalim in a case of a shvuah derabbanan, in a case of a nishpa shvuas heses. His mevela, the nitva doesn't have to pay. We're not allowing to take a shvuah, which he normally would have to, but he doesn't have to pay. Now we're going to make a takana, and we're going to impose a shvuah of nishpa v'notel on the mafkid, on the tovea. That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't bother anybody why the Torah would require you to take a shvuah. Because somebody makes a claim from you, an unsupported claim, and you're
Torah never accepted such a shvua. The Rabbanan made a takana. The Gemara is going to say because there was so many people who were just denying. You know, it's very easy to be kofar kol.
So
the Rabbanan wanted to make a certain inhibition that it's not so easy just to be kofar kol. You're going to have to take a shvua. Torah never saw it, never recognized it, didn't exist. It's very interesting, you know, in our Derech HaLimud, we always used to talk about the following. is the second din a new din or it's an extension of the first din? Yeah. For example, if you have a din d'oraisa and then the Rabbanan instituted, is that the Rabbanan an extension of the Torah?
Right.
So for example, you have Truma the Rabbanan of Yerokos. Are we going to apply the same dinim of a Mafrishin Ela Minamukov and whatever else we have? If you have Arla Durabonin, are the dinim going to be identical to Arla Durabonin? So here we have a Shvua Durabonin. Is this Shvua a brand new category? Or is it an extension of the Shvua Durabonin? And I can ask that question twice, not just once. I can ask it, address it to Rav Nachman, because he has the Shvua as Kofar HaKol. And then I can address it to the Shvua of Rav Zera of Nishba Venotel, of Kenegdo Nishba Venotel.
When you say that it's an extension of the Deoraisa, is that different than saying that when the Rabbanu Masakin and Masakin came Deoraisa, or is that the same?
Pretty much the same thing. In other words, if you want a barometer and test the waters, are we dealing with a brand new entity, or it's just the Rabbanu extended the Deoraisa? The answer is, are the dinim the same? Chalas chutzlarts, for example, ain't a tovelis. Unbelievable. Chala, by definition, until you mafresh it, is teva. Not so in chutzlarts. So in chutzlarts, you have different dinim. No sin ain't a mitzadzeh, miyolcha mitzadzeh. Could be chalas chutzlarts, you can be mafresh on yontif, but you can't be mafresh it. Can't be mafresh chala do rice on yontif. You know, as soon as you get the perspective that the dinim change, you know, we had this a few weeks ago. I don't know if you remember, we discussed basar b'cholov in a case of oaf. And if we hold that basar oaf b'cholov is derabanan, is it asar b'hanah like basar b'cholov? Is it asar bishul? And we researched and we came up with the machlokas rishon and machlokas aposkin. What is the status of basar oaf b'cholov? If it's a new entity, then it doesn't reflect the same dinim. Again, I'm getting off on a tangent, but if you're following my point here, it seems in a very profound way that the Shvua D'Rabbanan here is not the same at all as the Shvua D'Oraisa. Shvua D'Oraisa means, you know, everything's in the balance here. Everything depends on whether you take the Shvua. You can't take the Shvua, you're going to have to pay. Not so in a Shvua D'Rabbanan.
But was it? But a Shvua D'Rabbanan.
A call for a call.
You're still saying the shame in the Shvua, aren't you?
That's a different question. I didn't research that. The question is whether the, you know, it's like in Malchus, there's a difference between Malchus D'Oraisa and Malchus Maradus in terms of the way he hits him and what instruments he uses. Yeah. In the case of Shvua, I don't know. We'd have to. You know, it might come up in the sugya, but not immediately.
Because if the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu is mentioned, Mali Hacha Mali Hasa, this is what you call it, Derabanan or Deraisa. When as soon as you're saying it, Nishkol Hashaker with the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're over to Deraisa.
But I want to know if you have to pay if you don't take the Shmuel. That's
our dinim that apply. That's the point.
Okay. Yeah. Meaning, Alan, do you have to pay if you don't take the Shmuel? That's what I'm asking.
And if you don't take the Shmuel.
Yeah. On a Deraisa Shmuel, you have to pay if you don't take the Shmuel.
Yeah.
You have two choices. Either take the Shvua. No, I'm saying where there's a Chiv Shvua. Whether it's Eidecha, Mother Mixas, Shvus HaShomer. Where there's a Chiv Shvua, you have two choices. Either you take the Shvua and you're potter, or you don't take the Shvua and you have to pay. Not so in the case of a Shvua D'Rabbanan. That's what Tosis is pointing out here in this very short cryptic Tosis, Kidda Parishis, for which you have to know. Sugyas and Masech the Shvu.
Mauritius Moshe has a whole discussion of this exactly.
Really? Can you print it out for me? Or is it complicated?
No.
Oh, that would be great. Alright, let's just I just want to read the next Gemara and we'll end it at that, but maybe we can get to the two dots. The Gemara says the following. Vitepukle dahavi le roe. The Gemara is going back to ask on Abaye. Abaye said, "Vehod gazlan havi." Do you remember that language of Abaye? Which means that since the Edom testified against him, against the Shomer, that he ate two of the animals, he becomes a gazlan, and therefore he cannot take the Shvua. We don't trust the Shvua of a gazlan. So the Gemara asks, "V'tepikle davile roa." He's a roa. Roa is never trusted on the shvuah. Why do you have to mention the fact that two Aiden testified that he stole these parah? Well, Rabbi Yehuda, stam roa apostle.
Is that the Raisa or the Rabbanan?
I think it might be Do Raisa. It depends. If there were Aiden that the roa stole something, then for sure it's a psul Do Raisa.
Yeah, sure.
And that's a possible.
Yeah, like,
well, what does the possible remind me? Lotatius Yodcha in Russia, Leo Seid Chamos, whatever it says there. Right. But if it's just a case where we have no testimony.
Yeah, but this is usually it says you have an akimta that
right. Right. We're just assuming a chazaka on a roa, that could be a psul d'rabban. You're right. Oh, the Omar of you, the stam roa, Rashi says, afilo huad olav sheikh gazal, shkoyach. We don't have edus against him that he stole. Possibly edus. Why the stomach gazlan hu shemar ebe mosav v'sado shel achir? He lets his animals graze.
But that's also an ukimta too, isn't it? They don't know that it's a specific person.
But I wouldn't call it an ukimta. I would call it a chazaka. Right. If you don't mind the terminology here. So we have stam. Whenever you see the word stam, we're talking about a chazaka, meaning we assume until we know otherwise that he's guilty. We don't have any proof that he's guilty, but we're going to assume the temptation is too great. You know, when you're a roer, to try to keep it away from anyone's grass, you know, we're going to take the animal.
Yeah, what about being
stam roer possible?
Hold on, let's have a kaskus.
Okay, so you have to know that roer took himself out of that category.
He chose to be a roer.
Right, he chose to be a roer.
But all the others were roer.
That's a good kaskus. But that's why, that's the difference between Roy Loth and Roy Avraham, right?
So you can't say it's theories.
So Gemara answers, Hadi Dei Hadi Alma. It depends whose animals he's shepherding. If he's shepherding his own animals, then he gets a lot of benefit from the fact that his animals are able to graze in Yenim's field, and he's not worried about Kenevim. But if he's a shepherd on behalf of someone from the city, and he doesn't gain anything by, right? He doesn't gain anything. He doesn't supply the food. Who pays the bill for the food? The owner of the animal. So what difference does it make to him whether, you know, like cutting down the amount of money he has to spend on the food because he's eating, grazing from someone else's territory, he doesn't gain anything. So b'shvil hanos achirim eino chote laharos ad she yagia lemara hamufka lakol. He's not going to make this extra effort because, after all, he couldn't care less. It's not his hanah; he doesn't benefit from it.
Why don't they consider that?
Just one second. I just want to make sure right. I got the cheshbon here.
Yeah, right.
So again, lo kasha hadi day, hadi alma. So let's see what the cheshbon is. When does Abayi say that this roe is a gazlan because two witnesses testified that he ate the animals? That's a case of roe. That's a case of roe. One second. It's roe lachirim. What do we say? If it's a case of roa lacherim, so he doesn't benefit. Again, let's go over the shaklutai just one more time. Why did Abai have to say that we have Adim? Why didn't you say he's a roa? The answer is that here we talk about a case of a roa lacherim. Oh, now I got it. If it's a roa lacherim and he has no vested financial benefits from it, then we don't have to passel him. So Abai says, in a case of Rola Chayim, since the Adam testified that he stole two animals, therefore we cannot trust his shvuah. Had this same Roa not been subject to the testimony of two witnesses, then there would be no claim against him, because let him take the shvuah and Shalom al Yisrael. Why? Because he's a roef for achirim, and if he's a roef achirim, he's not suspect of lying.
That's right. There's two aid. Is it possible that there's one aid?
He's a roel achir, but there's one aid that says that he stole. I don't think so, because I think passing someone for aidus is called the davar she'be'erva, and ain davar she'be'erva pachas mishnayim. The ilo tema hachi anan chiyusa leroa hechi masrida vaksivus neivelo sitei michshal. How can we give our animals over to a roa if we know he's going to graze it in someone else's field? That itself is lufneivir. And the answer is ela chazoka eno demchote velo lo. So if he's being roa, the sheep of other people, the animals, they were not choshesh that he would what? That he would graze it in the area of someone. So Bli Neder, I'll take a look at this later, but what I wanted to do with you now is this article that I gave you. Does everybody have one? I think there's an extra copy over here.